I think is this his first appearance as a Rogers employee? No? He's been on before? Oh, he came on when I wasn't here. A traitor. Here's Glenn Healy.
It was at gunpoint, Bobcat.
Oh, yeah.
They made me come on. I didn't want to go on, not without you.
I know.
Because, you know, the rest of the guys are just so weak in your place.
They are, aren't they?
I would agree.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It really is embarrassing. What the hell are they going to do here, Heels, when I'm gone, you know? Like, who's next in line? Are you going to come in and take over?
No. Gosh, no.
Well, you couldn't work 5 days a week on a bet.
Johnny can. I mean, I'm listening to the Baldwin expose there, and you pretty much nailed it, Johnny.
Thank you.
Don't forget San Jose. He was a big part of bringing that team in. And Pittsburgh Penguins, he won a cup in 92. Wilkes-Barre Scranton. This guy's got a lot of hockey fabric.
And is still wanting and still wanting to bring hockey back to Hartford. NHL hockey back to Hartford.
Next trick. The song is the only thing that was any good in Hartford, and that was a mall you could walk through to get to the game and maybe do a little shopping.
No, the best.
Kick the, you know, the Hartford's butt.
Chuck's Steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Connecticut. I don't know why everybody slags Connecticut. Like, everybody slags Bristol. And I know Bristol's a hole. That's where ESPN is. So, Shannon can't even deny it. I mean, it is a hole.
Well,
and Hartford isn't exactly one of the great metropolises of North America.
No, what is so good about, other than the casinos and those kind of things, like Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, what
it's
else?
It's pretty. It's beautiful. They got the ocean there.
Oh, no,
Mystic Connecticut right there. You got lots of trees, wildlife,
and no state tax.
They don't have any state tax.
I don't believe so.
Okay, let's give the team back then.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, there you go.
Escrow.
How much you got? Let's put some money together. We'll each throw something in the pot.
Heels, we're not allowed to mention escrow anymore now.
Oh, that's right. Yes. You know, hey, judging by what these teams are going for, I mean, it's off the charts. What he bought the Hartford Whalers for back in the 70s and probably what he sold them for and what he could get for a hockey franchise now, it's off the charts. Teams that are losing tens of millions of dollars are selling for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
I don't get it. But I guess if you play two exhibition games in the same day with the same teams in two different cities, I can see why you got a lot of money.
Well, you run the risk of losing twice.
That's true. But is that not a colossal rip-off for the fans?
Well, is it part of your season ticket package or not?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I bet you was, too.
So. And you've got the Toronto Maple Leafs playing Ottawa at home and on the road on the same day at the same time.
Yeah.
That's got refund written all over it for me.
The Phoenix Coyotes.
Arizona.
Yeah, the Phoenix Coyotes. The NHL was offered $500 million for the Phoenix Coyotes and turned it down.
Wow. Can't say much
recently?
More than that.
No, when they were in bankruptcy. Twice. We're offered $500 million, and then we're offered $400 million plus the $100 million bond. Remember the bond they floated?
Yeah.
That started at 6%. Nobody bit. They moved it to 9%. Still nobody bit.
Really?
I can tell you, I guarantee you factually. Now, there was a caveat.
They were had to move them like within 7 minutes.
Yeah, they were not going to play in Phoenix. Yeah. But the NHL turned down $500 million for the Phoenix Coyotes. That is staggering, isn't it? And they didn't even think about it. They say, we'll give you 500. No. Million. No.
Wow.
Well, we'll see what these expansion franchises go for. And they decide to put them, because there is lots of rumors of Seattle and Vegas and a second team in Toronto. The amount will be staggering for a new team.
GB was on here, says not happening. It's not on the radar. And I think, you know, one of the reasons I think he's a little cautious about this. Well, first of all, he's not going to announce it until he's ready to. But secondly, they're going to have to find a place for Phoenix. And they're going to have to find a place for Florida. You can't fix Florida, can you?
In my mind, no.
Me neither.
Not with that lease and
well,
I mean, it's great. You know, the premise of having having a lot of Canadians go down to Florida and spend the winter.
Yeah, no.
That's good, except none of them are hockey fans because they're not going to the games.
That's the famous Jack Kent Cook line of of 1967. So.
I lived it. I was wearing those yellow pants.
Listen, I mean, the Broward County is actually investigating, looking at the lease, trying to find a way not to lease it to the Florida Panthers. There are discussions in a way to renegotiate.
Why, they want out?
Yes.
Why do they want out?
Because they'll make more money.
Oh, but you put more concerts and stuff in.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're
that place is there. They are in real doo doo.
You know, I would say that right now the rosy picture of the National Hockey League with the 30 clubs, and I think that they can perceive the perception of the rosiness is there. But we're going to hear as we get closer to expansion, because I do believe we're going to have expansion within 4 to 5 years, that we'll also hear of relocation.
Well, what you're going to hear is two teams will relocate and two teams, and they'll expand two teams.
Exactly.
The problem's going to be loading up the West. And that means either Toronto or Quebec is going to get screwed.
There's a lot of uncertainty there. One thing I am certain of, though, is there isn't one listener listening today that gives a rat's ass about the Florida Panthers.
No.
So,
but we don't have any listeners today. We're not on radio. We're only on television and barely that. So this entire conversation is really just our personal agenda.
Perfect.
Okay. Hey, so let me ask you this, Glenn. You become a general manager in the National Hockey League.
This is a hypothetical, right?
Very hypothetical.
Okay, thank
it's,
God.
It's kind of like very unique, which is not possible, but very hypothetical. You draft an 18-year-old. Is there any chance any 18-year-old, other than a single phenom, would ever start his professional career with the big club?
I do. I believe that could happen. If it's to the player's benefit to stay with the big club. If he can't achieve anything else in junior, then and he's ready for the National Hockey League physically, emotionally, mentally, then I don't see why you wouldn't at least start the player with the big club first. Give him 9 games and then see how he, you know, wades in the water. It is a man's league, and you've got to be pretty tough and pretty durable and consistent and competitive to play in it. A lot of 18-year-olds aren't ready for it.
Yeah.
There's been 18-year-olds that have made teams, and you look at them and say, this guy is nowhere near ready to play in the league, and it shows almost right away. So there are circumstances where players should stay with the NHL club and should not go back to waste a year in junior, or if it's the Swedish Elite League, or wherever you're deciding to send that player. Yeah, it's about where that player's development's at, and where your team's development is at. I mean, where's he going to play? Going to play 4 minutes a game? And that's not going to develop anything.
No.
But if he's ready, you put him in the lineup, period.
I got a question. Where did Nylander play last year?
He played in the Swedish Elite League.
So Heels is talking about...
With his father sometimes. So
okay, that's what I thought. So Heels mentioned the 9-game thing, which immediately brought in, you know, the 10-game, and then you can send him back to junior if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Does that even apply to him?
Yes, it does.
It does?
Because he basically that doesn't that's more an application for
contract
arbitration and free agency.
That's
you
right.
Just burn a year, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And do you want to burn that year on that player for 9 games? It's a pretty risky gamble when you get to the 10th game. The bottom line, though, is the kid has skill. I can remember watching him in 2008. I was at a Washington practice, and there was two kids on the ice who were both Michael's kids, and the skill level on them back then was I thought, that's enormous. Look at these guys.
I mean, the fascination is that in Nylander's situation, you could send him to Mississauga of the OHL. You could put him with the Marlies and put him on the bus, or you could play him in the NHL, or you can send him to the Swedish Elite League.
And you could bring him back at the end of the Swedish Elite League season, because it ends earlier than the Marlies season, and he could actually play for the Marlies in the postseason. So there's lots of options for the player. I don't think he's physically big enough to play at an NHL level with an 82-game season. He needs to get bigger. He looks like he's 15.
What about Sam Bennett in Calgary?
Well, and again, another unique situation. The difference, I think, is that Calgary's in a full rebuild. They might not admit it, but they are.
I think they'll admit it, and I think Brad Treliving will admit that.
So that option probably makes a little bit more sense than a team like Toronto, where it's playoffs or nothing. They have to get into the postseason. Calgary, I don't think, is even hoping to get into the postseason this year. They're still developing the Monahans and you know, Johnny Hockey and all these players that they've got coming up that they feel are the real deal.
Glenn Healy is with us from the NHL on Rogers, or whatever we call this.
So you'd send Bennett back to junior, that's what you're saying?
I would, yeah. Okay. They have a lot of prospects that they're... That, you know, you want to have the nice mix. You know, the Edmonton Oilers is probably your classic case of having too much of the same and too much youth and not enough experience to go around to develop the players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look at the soup they've been in the past number of years. It doesn't seem to be an exit strategy for it until, you know, the light goes on in the cave for these guys and they figure out how to be pros consistently, or maybe get a goalie to start the season instead of Devin Dubnyk. That gives him a chance. But you want to have that nice mix. But again, that player, I know I haven't seen him play an exhibition game yet, so that would be the first for me before I'd make an assessment on him. But if he's not standing out in these exhibition games with 12 guys that you've never heard of, then when you get down to your roster of 20 that you've heard of all of them, then chances are he's not going to stand out in those games.
Thank you. What does Nazem Kadri have to do before this season starts to change your opinion of him?
Well, Nazem is a guy who is highly skilled, and when he looks at any particular play, there's always a couple options. There's the easy play to make, then there's the little bit more risky play, and then there's the one where you try to pass the puck through a player's skate blade and over a goalie stick and under a referee's arm. That's the play he picks all the time. And so I think he has to learn the score, the clock, and how to be a complete player in all three zones. If he can be that, then he's the player that you drafted. But that level of inconsistency where you're not sure if he's a scorer because he doesn't score enough and often enough to put him with the big guys, and then you don't trust him defensively, so can I play him late in games? Like, all of that makes you a complete player. That's why when you look at the Taves and the Bergerons and any of those guys, well, you know, kind of cut out of that cloth, they can play at any part of any game at any time. Nazem isn't there yet. And it started off with fitness. Fitness was lacking when he was with the Marlies. He was the last in the team in fitness. Even the goalies were better. That's embarrassing. But he's starting to become a better pro. And he's got great parts to his game. Great skill. He's physical. Players love physical guys that have skill because they're like, wow, you sacrificed your body for this? Great. But he's not complete yet.
Well, again, the question was actually, what does he have to do in the preseason? So let me answer the question first, and then you can chime in on whether you agree or don't, since you avoided that question. I don't think there's anything this guy can do during this preseason that will make me do anything more than say, all right, fine, let's see what you do over a longer period of time in the regular season, because I'm almost at the point where I think he is what he is. Now, maybe there's a breakthrough coming. But, you know, the number of times guys have been around for the time period he has, and then all of a sudden at age 24, 25, whatever it is, breakthrough, those guys are, they're not a dime a dozen. They're very, very rare. Usually you are what you are. And a couple of preseason games isn't going to make me change my opinion of what I can expect from you. And yet, I guess my frustration in this regard is that, you know, both last 3 days or 4 days, one Nazem Kadri story after another. And I know guys are looking to tell stories, but, you know, really? You really think there's something more here that you haven't seen and all of a sudden a light's going to go on in this kid's head? I'm betting against it.
You know, there's a lot of teams, and sorry to interrupt, Glenn, but there's a lot of teams in the NHL with a Kadri-type guy on their roster. I mean, Evander Kane's almost in the same boat, even though he scores a bit more than Kadri does. But Kane's in exactly the same boat in Winnipeg.
I would agree with both the assessments, and I think if there's anything that he can do at this camp is to show that he can play with Phil Kessel. Because if he continues to be the player that we have seen, then he will not be a Toronto Maple Leaf halfway through this year. But if he's going to be the player that we think he can be, then he's going to be a top two center, and he's going to play more minutes, and he's going to quarterback a power play. You know, no disrespect to Tyler Bozak, but you know, Bozy's good at winning faceoffs, and that's not exactly a magical set of mitts he's got. He's just a dependable player. You would like to have a Kadri to be on that top line, to be on the top power play, and to show what you drafted him for, which is a highly skilled guy. But you got to be able to depend on him. And if you can't, then he doesn't play the minutes. And, you know, when I was with the Islanders, it was Al Arbor and Bill Torrey. And Bill would draft the players. They'd give them to Al. Al would develop them at some point with players. And we had lots of them with the Islanders. Dave Chyzowski stands out, number two overall. At some point, Al would go to Bill and say, no, he's not the player you drafted. Get rid of him. And they'd work together. And there would be a trade made, and that player would be gone. And if Kadri doesn't get it together, then there'll be interest. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him moved.
Overall, do you see any reason to believe that this Maple Leaf team is tangibly better than last year's?
I think they're tangibly better. Their bottom six are better. Their defense are better. They're not going to spend as much time in their own zone. Their coaching staff is better. They've gotten rid of the three guys that stood behind the bench and screamed and yelled at the players to the players. You know, it was enough. The waterboarding is enough. This group of assistant coaches is much more willing and younger to listen to players and understand how to get the best out of them. So all of that put together, I think the team has made some strides culturally. Will it translate onto the ice? Take a look at the start of their season. There are no layups with the teams that they played to begin the
Can
first
I ask one quick question?
Well, very fast.
Who will have more impact on his hockey club, Trevor Linden with the Vancouver Canucks or Brendan Shanahan with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Brendan Shanahan.
Really?
I believe he is, you know, he's a hands-on guy. He's not one of those guys who stands back and says, you know what, I like the job, I'm making a lot of money, change my tie every day, I'll look really good. No, he's one of those guys that says, I've won. I've won everywhere I played, and I'm going to win here. And he's going to take a lot of pride in that. Trevor has a, you know, I think he's got, his big challenge will be dealing with the owners. That's going to be a big challenge for him. And that means you're less on hockey and more in the boardroom.
Very quickly, would you have voted for independence for Scotland or not if you'd voted?
Well, there were a lot of people that died. Bannockburn, Culloden, to fight for the freedom of Scotland. And all the Scottish folks had to do was say yes, and they didn't. So a lot of people are rolling over in their grave. And to me, I would have voted yes. You can go on your own.
And you'll know that Eider Cup is in Scotland this week. Did you know that, Healy?
I did so, yes. Absolutely.
They're playing at Glen Eagles.
That's a pretty tough course.
It's great.
Probably one of the best places to stay and one of the most extensive Scotch bars. Now, I wouldn't know that, but I've heard that.
I'll phone you at 2:45 when they're teeing off.
Love it, boys. Hey, I'm glad to be part of the Rogers family. Bobcat, you must have put a good word in because, I mean, there were some dark days there in the winter when no one would answer my calls, even receptionists.
I'm sorry, your name was again?
Kiprios.
That's Glenn Healy of the NHL on Rogers.